Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
Good morning, church. Welcome to One Christian Church Fellowship. We're broadcasting again this morning. We hope you enjoy your time of fellowship here as we're doing church in this manner today and probably for some time. Just a welcome to those that are visiting for the first time. If you're visiting from another church or you're visiting from another country or somewhere in Australia, welcome. I'm so happy you're joining us this morning and just to be a part of this fellowship in these times that we live in. Now, before we get started, we're going to get started right away, but we're going to make our declaration. If you're joining us for the first time, it's our biblical declaration. So if you have a Bible, you can hold it up. So I welcome you to do that. And we're just going to declare our declaration today. So hold your Bibles up. I believe my Bible is the inspired, inherent, infallible Word of God. I believe what it says about God. I believe what it says about me. I believe about what it says about my past, my future, and my present. And I believe it is the highest authority in my life. And I believe that God will speak to me through His Word today. Amen. Thank you for being a part of that. Well, we're going to get straight into it. We're going to be talking about this morning about finishing well. What does that mean, finishing well? So I just want to start with this, and starting something new is always exciting. You know, we often start New Year resolutions that we're determined to carry out, and whether it be lose weight or a fitness program. And for many of us, we sort of it seems that we fall away, you know, quite quickly from that commitment. But we need to hang in there. It's a long haul for the rest of our lives. It's a sort of commitment we're going to be talking about today. And hanging in over the long haul is the real test of the commitment. And just to have an example from life, marriage is one of those things. It's exciting and it's easy to do. You know, people get married every day. People say oaths to one another. They make commitments, you know, to death do us part. And unfortunately, it's not always that way. And by no means am I being disrespectful to anyone here this morning that has, you know, been in a traumatic marriage relationship or has suffered a divorce or separation. I'm just using it as an analogy just to help us understand of the true commitment in a marriage covenant. And it's the same as a marriage covenant that we have with our Lord. It's marriage is a parallel to being born again, to entering into the kingdom, by accepting this fantastic gift that God has given us, the gift of eternal life through His Son. You know, and all we got to do is turn and look at Him and repent of our sins and come and humble ourselves under His awesome hand. And becoming a Christian is, let's say, it is fairly easy, eh? You understand why Jesus died, you acknowledge you're a sinner, you repent, you get born again. And things seem to go okay for a little while, and then after some time, you know, struggles begin to happen. Adjustments in our lives, things change. You know, we experience suffering, we experience ridicule, we experience many times even persecution. We experience even in our own fellowships friction between one another. And you know, the hard part is hanging in there like a marriage, understanding that it's a marathon. It's not just a short sprint. We're going to sprint this. We're going to do this 100-meter dash, but it's a life commitment to the Lord. And we're just going to talk about that this morning, and we're going to talk about how we can finish well, because I believe the Lord is for us. He's not against us. That's what He tells us. And He's, you know, He's wooing us from heaven. He's declaring, you know, that we can do this. And as we get a hold of truth, truth seems to be able to break bands in our life and bands of wickedness, whatever they are, and can sort of move us forward into a new dimension in God. So I want to look at a scripture this morning that we're going to be drawing from that scripture today. It's 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. And it's Paul's declaration, you know, coming to the end of his life. He's penning these words together. He's in a dungeon, and You know, we can look at him and feel sorry for him, but he has an internal joy. He has a confidence, not in himself, but in his God, that all will work out for good. All will come to fruition. You know, the seeds that he's sown, the people that he's imparted to, the works that he's established, you know, and now he's in this dungeon. And it's not like our prison system these days. It would have been a miserable place to be. And to be living in that environment. And he's penning these words and he's encouraging his son in the Lord, Timothy, not to give up, you know, to keep preaching that sound doctrine, preach truth, you know, live your life in a way that honors God and reflects his glory in your life, no matter what you're going through in life. And that's what we're going to be talking about we're going to pick it up from verse 6, and it says this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." We'll just stop there for a moment and just talk about that a little bit and reflect on that. And I want to encourage us today that, you know, there's only one way to run this race. And I know we all have different variations how we should be running the race, but one way to run the race, one way to live for Christ, and one way to be encapsulated by his love, because we need to experience his love in our lives, you know, in not only in a spiritual way, but also in a tangible way, not only just tangible, but just from the truth that we receive when we commit ourselves and we get into that place where we can just have our one-on-ones with God. And I encourage us to do that. This is a perfect situation right now that we're living in, a perfect time in history where God has just slowed everything down. It would seem that way. And I know that's difficult for many of us. You know, maybe in your situation, you're living at home with many people and living there, you know, with all at the same time, where in the past, you know, it would have been, you might have been home on your own, or your wife might have been home if you're married, or your children are out working and they come home, or school and they come home at different times. But now it seems everybody's, you know, in a family that's living together, doesn't have time or doesn't have their own special times anymore. You've got to create those. And it's just the same on the other side of the spectrum when we're talking about people that are living on their own. Now, not only were they in isolation to start off with, but now they find themselves not just in isolation, not just living in their own homes alone, but even affected by the social distancing and the laws that our government has put in place. And not that we're speaking out against those laws. I think they're good, and we need to adhere to that, and we need to all take responsibility about what's going on. But it's made life a little bit difficult. It's changed our way of doing life. And as we look at this verse here, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." You know, this is just my own sort of thoughts on this, and well, half of it is, the other half is scripture. And it says this in 1 Colossians, verse 15. It says that Christ is the image or the representation of the invisible God. So when we look at Christ, you know, we see how God is. We see the character of God through the life of Christ, the compassion, the mercy, the grace, the willingness to step in, the willingness to help humanity. We also see the righteousness of God, the judgments of God, and many other characteristics, but we see him in Christ, but we see him encapsulated in a heart of love. And when we look at Paul, and I'm just giving you that just as an analogy, because when we look at Paul, just as Christ is the invisible image of God, the Father, when we look at Paul, I believe Paul to be the image of a born-again believer, a fully devoted follower and believer and disciple of Jesus Christ. And he's that image for us. He's someone that we can relate to at a human level, even though we can relate to Christ at that human level. But Paul more so, a religious zealous, you know, for God in his past life, even to the point of committing all sorts of atrocious things, murdering people, imprisoning people, separating families, many, many other things, until he has that encounter with Christ and he comes into a revelation of who Christ is and what he's done and what he continues to do. And, you know, Paul understands his time's up. He's been living this life now for 30 years. since he'd been caught on that Damascus road. He understands his time's up. He knows he's in prison. He knows that his execution is only days or minutes or hours away, imminent. But he's okay with that. He's comfortable with that. He understands where he's going. He understands, what God has called him to. He understands what his work was here on the earth. And he understands that he's at peace with God and he's at peace with man. He's at peace with himself. He's actually carried out the counsel of God in his life. So he's a remarkable person to have as a mentor. Even in our day today, we look at Paul, and I know we have great mentors, parents, family friends, Christian brothers and sisters in the faith, but Paul is extraordinary. He's an amazing man. I mean, I don't want to pump him up above Christ, but he's our inspiration when we suffer and when we go through many, 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 many atrocities of our own. So approximately 30 years in the ministry, suffering, abuse, ridiculed. He's been imprisoned for some time. He's many times whipped with 39 lashes, being stoned and left for dead. This is his life. This is his ministry. This is part of his ministry. Drifting on an ocean, being shipwrecked on several occasions and just drifting out there during the night, not knowing what was going to happen, but certainly had his faith in God. Tormented by physical bodily sicknesses, but faithful with passion. And I have to say with passion, none of that deterred him. He had focus about what he was doing and where he was going. And three things to understand about finishing well from Paul. And I just want to look at Paul just briefly in these verses here today that we're looking at. And so just bear with me. He finished well. And one of the reasons he finished well, because he saw the bigger picture. He's seen the importance of raising up disciples. Timothy is one of those disciples. Actually, Timothy would probably rank his favorite son in the faith, someone that he was really close with and could trust and depend on. And it's good to have those people in your life, it doesn't matter what level of leadership or what level you are in the kingdom of God. You're a son of God and it's our job, it's our responsibility to encourage people, to train people up, to allow them to receive and to fulfill their calling in their life, whatever that may be. He was reproductive in what he was doing. So to finish well is something that we all need to take on board. I believe even so more in these times that we live in, to reproduce ourselves, not that we're reproducing little eyes of ourselves, but we're reproducing people that are sold out for Christ, lovers of Jesus, that have a heart and a passion for Him, regardless of what happens in their lives. For us, it starts in our families. It starts in our churches with our brothers and sisters. And then it expands out to the people that we interact with in our communities and in our workplaces and all those other areas that we associate and we mingle with in society. And he finished well because he viewed his life as an offering poured out to God. And I'm not going to go into the gist of that, poured out to God. We can go back to Old Testament sacrifices and see what that means. But, he was willing just to keep giving out to God. And there's a beautiful scripture in Romans 12:1, and we use the New King James here that I'm reading from, and it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," come on, get a hold of this, brethren, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." To Paul, it was reasonable. It was a reasonable service to live this way and to encourage us to take on that mantle and to live in the same way. He finished well because he had no fear of death. He'd overcome that fear. Death had no bound, no hold on him. I mean, we talked about that last week for those of us that joined us. 1 John 1:4-18, perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And Paul knew that he had been rescued out of that judgment. He'd been rescued from his sins. He'd been rescued from that life of selfishness and pursuit of God in his own way. And he'd been translated into the kingdom of light with a new heart and a new purpose and a new vision. And I just admire Paul as a man with all the struggles that he had. Probably none that we would even come close to in our own lives this day. But that's not the point. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And remember, he's penning this in a prison and he knows his time's up. And I have kept the faith. What an amazing statement. What an amazing statement to say. You know, like it's almost like those other statements that Paul makes throughout the Gospels, throughout his epistles. You know, follow me because I follow Christ. Imitate me because I imitate Christ. Man, is that a message that someone could confidently speak? It's not a boast. It was an encouragement to say, hey, come on, I'll show you how to live this life. I'll walk it with you. I'll disciple you through it. It's been drawn together in that way. I fought that good fight. I've finished the race and I've kept the faith. So I want to break that down for us a little bit this morning. I want to break it down in a couple of ways. I want to suggest that fighting the good fight is a responsibility that we all share in. And the sharing is the presentation of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel to others, those that need it. We need it regularly. We need to be revisiting that because every day is new for us. Every day is a new beginning for us. When I wake up tomorrow, it's a new day. The yesterday is gone. Today is here and I'm here. And I only have the now. I only have this hour or this 24-hour period to live. I don't know if tomorrow is going to come. So fighting the good fight, the responsibility that we all have in sharing this gospel. And firstly, I'll say for our own testimony, our own lives, you know, like the fruit that God is producing in our life, or the fruit that we're allowing him to produce in our lives through our obedience, through our submitting to one another, submitting to Christ and declaring that we're no longer rulers of our own lives. We're no longer Lord of our own lives, but we want to surrender that Lordship over to Christ, the true Lord, the God that loved me, the God that took on sin for me and paid my penalty and declared me when I came to him and repented, declared me cleansed and clean and forgiven and righteous, his righteousness imputed in me. Fighting that good fight, my own life, my own testimony. What is our testimony? What is our life's testimony to people that see us? Do they know that we're Christians? Do they know that we have a living hope? Do they know that you're, and I'm not just saying, oh, I tell people I go to church. That's okay. That's great. It's great to be together, to be fellowshipping, you know, that's being obedient even to the word of God, whether you know that or not, to gather together, to declare God's praises, to worship, to draw unto him, to be instructed in that time, to celebrate, whether it be singing and praising and worshiping the Lord together, or whether it be taking communion, or whether it be just sitting, or whether it be just giving of your resources into the kingdom of God. Secondly, not only by just our own lives, but also by the proclamation of our words. See, God needs vessels and we're his vessels. Born-again believers, the priesthood of believers on the earth right now. And some may be saying, well, you know, that's for pastors and that's for apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists. That's not for just the general public that go to church and declare themselves to be right with God. No, that's for everybody. That's the whole body working together. You and me and I, everybody working together, declaring the people that we encounter on our daily journey. Just the practical things of life. Eyeballing someone, not in a negative way, but talking to someone, looking at them in the eyes and saying, hey, where are you at spiritually? And if the door opens, you communicate what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. So let that be an encouraging to fighting the good fight. I have finished the race. The Great Commission, the responsibility given to every born-again believer, you and I. This is an amazing I would say, I would call it a responsibility. I wouldn't call it a duty. I call it a responsibility to be responsible. And responsibility comes at different levels in our lives as we grow and as we mature and as God continues to work out our salvation in our own life. We work that out, but God working with us as we work that out daily, as we become closer is the word that I'm looking for, closer to the Lord, as we draw unto Him and we receive from Him our substance, we receive from Him our strength, our joy, our peace, in the middle of whatever crisis we're going through in our lives. And once again, I want us to reflect on Paul, you know, his attitude. Same attitude as what Christ would say, like in Philippians, as he penned even that book. Let our attitude be as that of Christ, hey? Who considered himself nothing, you know, and took on the form of man. Put his deity aside, took on the form of man. Now that's humility. That's humility. And God raised him up in due course. How low are we willing to go in that humility? I've kept the faith. Now the faith, you know, what I believe Paul is saying here, I've kept the faith. I've proclaimed Christ. I've declared to people that the gospel is the power unto salvation to them that believe. Whether they be Jew or Greek, that means that to anyone that you come across, to anyone that's living in this planet right now, I've kept the faith and I'm keeping the faith and I'm proclaiming the gospel with the intention of making disciples out of those that are born again. And verse 8, this is another beautiful verse, and I encourage you to meditate on these even during the week and allow God's Spirit to speak to you throughout the week. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The crown of righteousness. Now, this is not explicitly for Paul. This is for everybody. There's no favoritism in the kingdom of God. This is for all those that pursue Christ and for all those that are willing, you know, to lay down their lives. And to some extent, we're all laying down our lives daily and we're growing in that. And we're whether someone is doing more than what we do, we're not looking at man. We're not looking at each other. We're keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus. And it's not that sort of race. It's the race is between my heart and God, that they two can connect and the two can become one. That's the purpose of discipleship. And the key phrase is on that day. And I love it because Paul in this book, he mentions that several times, on that day. So he's obviously got some focus about this day. He knows that it's been coming. He's aware of it. And now even more so, he's in this dungeon and he knows that death is imminent and that day is becoming more reality even at that moment. He has an eternal perspective. And the eternal perspective in that, he has an expectation of eternal reward, a crown of righteousness, an eternal vision to stand before his righteous judge with confidence, and not his own confidence, but confidence in God, confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, confidence and communion with the Holy Spirit in his life, testifying to him, yes, 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 well done, good and faithful servant, well done, Paul, well done. And an expectation of his crown of righteousness, confirmation. What's our eternal vision? Do we have an eternal vision? Or do we just sort of take each day as it comes and just hoping and praying that somehow this is all going to pan out and I'm going to be okay? Is our eternal vision focusing on having an encounter with God? What do I mean by that, having an encounter with God? We all have. Every born-again believer, every child of God, on that day, We all have an appointment with God. It's been scheduled on our behalf since creation itself became in existence. God's already penned it in. He's got my name on the list. Mel, you're due on such and such a date. We're having an encounter. I've got to stand before the judge of all the earth, the living God. And each one of us is to stand there before the Lord, the righteous judge. And how does knowing that speak to us? You know, a predestined appointment face to face with the living God. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Paul. I want to have that eternal vision. I want to work on that. I want to build on that daily. And I'm not building on that to earn some merit points with God. No, I'm building on that because I know that I'm already loved by God. I know I'm already secure in God. I know that if I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, nobody can separate me from His love. Nothing. Nothing on this planet. Nothing outside of this planet. Nothing under this planet or above it. Nothing can separate me from His love. I'm confident in that. So I keep my eyes upon Jesus. He's my author. He's my finisher. He's my encourager. Do we have confidence in Christ to face that encounter, that appointment with God? And do we look forward to it? Are we looking forward to it? If the answer is no to any of these questions I've been raising or asking, then today is the day to get right with God. There's no tomorrow. Today, now, right now, this moment. I don't know any of your lives. I know some of you. I don't know where you are. Maybe there's people watching here today that I've never met. But you know where you are right now. You know where your relationship is right now with God. Today is the day to draw near. Today is the day for repentance. You know, Isaiah declares that sin is the very thing that separates us from God. But yet sin is the very thing that Jesus conquered, sin and death. And He's made a way now, an eternal way for us to walk into it. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. As a matter of fact, God made it as easy as possible for us. The hard part is the heart just unwilling to surrender to do it God's way. Today is the day for our relationships to be restored with God. There's a beautiful verse in 1 John. Most of us more than likely have used it in the past and are using it. And it says this, 1 John 8:9, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. However, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's a beautiful promise. If that's the only verse I had my whole life, if I was living on some remote island and I managed to salvage just this one verse off a shipwreck, and that's all I had, man, that would bring me into eternity. That would bring me into a relationship with Christ. That would keep me close to Him. So I want to encourage us today as we meet in this fashion over these next few weeks, or more than just these next few weeks, because there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment. But this is a great time to draw unto God. This is a great time to have a look at our hearts. This is a great time to be open before God, because God is doing something fresh in our lives and in our communities. This is a move of God that I believe is going on right now. It's fresh. There's a freshness coming. And God wants us all to be a part of that. So I encourage you to draw unto God. I encourage you to have a look at your heart. See what God is saying in areas of our lives. Let's not wake up tomorrow, or let's not just switch off this video today and just go about business as usual. Let's search for God while He may be found. Let's draw unto Him. Let's have that confidence when we stand before Him on that day. And that confidence confirmed in our lives through His Spirit. His Spirit indwelling in us, talking to us, declaring that we are sons of God. I want to thank you for being with us today. But I just want to pray for us this morning. If you're feeling distant from God, you know, you can come into fellowship with Him. And I'm not going to lead you into that fellowship, but I'm going to pray for you that God will open up that door right now in your heart. There'll be conviction there, and it won't be condemnation. It'll be a conviction that the Holy Spirit is prompting, saying, hey, come on, come into the family of God. Surrender your life, repent of your sins, acknowledge my death and resurrection and the price I paid for you with my blood for your life. And turn away from your sins, a 180 degree turn, and just start walking with me. Father, I just want to thank you that we're able to communicate your truth and we're able to communicate life, Lord. And I pray that that's happened today. Lord, Jeremiah says that your word's like a hammer, a fire, Lord, and it breaks the stones to pieces. And I pray that your word, Lord, has been encouraging and broken some stones in our lives today, hindering stones, Lord. Things that are getting in the way of us and you. I pray, Father, that you would just begin to stir up in us in this time, Lord, a hunger. A hunger for you, Lord, like never before. A thirst for you, Lord. And Lord, just by those natural things that we do, whether we switch off the television or we just go to our room and we just pick up your word and just meditate on a few verses, Lord. However we draw unto you. Lord, just let that freshness come upon us even today. That restoration power that comes, Lord, through your Spirit in our lives. And draw us and woo us back to you, Lord. Because, Lord, I don't stand here as no Paul or no angel, Lord. I'm just a sinner like everybody else. And I know the struggles of life, Lord. I understand that. But I know that you've overcome, and I know that we can overcome because you have overcome, Lord. And I know that you can empower us as we draw and we receive that strength from you, Lord. Just as you say in Isaiah, Lord, that we will rise up like the eagle. Those that are knit with the Lord, knit, woven together with the Lord, will rise up with an eagle strength. So, Father, thank you today. Thank you for every listener, Lord, that's tuned in to this message. May they be blessed, Lord. May your light just continue to shine on them, Lord. May you just draw them even closer to yourself, Lord. And Lord, may they make a difference, Lord, even today, whether by choice, Lord, or by action, Lord. Lord, that and their declaration would be, as for me and my house, or as for me and who I am, I want to follow you, Lord. I want to live for you, Lord. I want that confidence that comes from knowing you. I want that assurance that comes from being in relationship with you. So I speak that and I pray that over our listeners and our hearers today, Father, and those that will listen maybe even in different times, Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Be blessed, be encouraged, and keep encouraging one another during these times. God bless you.
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church.